from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, July 15th. Coming up, as the Delta variant of COVID-19 picks up steam, vaccination rates have slowed. We'll learn how one Midwestern state is trying to get more shots in arms in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. An Urbana man faces multiple charges after allegedly ramming a stolen truck into the Champaign County Jail yesterday morning. The News Gazette reports that 37-year-old Yevgeny Nikolaev has been charged with attempted first-degree murder and several other offenses. State's Attorney Julia Reitz tells the News Gazette that Nikolaev allegedly stole a truck early Wednesday, then shortly after 8:30 a.m. rammed a door at the county jail repeatedly, then tried to hit a Champaign County deputy sheriff with the truck. Reitz says Nikolaev then drove away in the truck, crashing it a short time later. Deputies caught him around 9 a.m. yesterday at Illini FS on University Avenue in Urbana, where he unsuccessfully tried to hijack a pickup truck. In addition to attempted murder, Nikolaev also faces charges of vehicular invasion and criminal damage to state property. He's in the Champaign County Jail, and bond has been set at $2 million. The Illinois General Assembly's watchdog is resigning from her job, saying her calls for reform have gone unheeded. Hannah Meisel has more.
Retired Judge Carol Pope, who has served as Illinois' Legislative Inspector General for more than 2 years, says lawmakers have repeatedly ignored her ideas to strengthen the office. The Legislative Inspector General is supposed to investigate complaints about lawmakers that allege violations of laws, rules, or conflicts of interest. But she says legislation pushed by Democrats this spring and awaiting Governor J.B. Pritzker's signature would actually weaken her office.
Instead of expanding the role and the power of the Legislative Inspector General, it's been restricted. And as a result, you know, I just don't feel like I can be effective in this job anymore.
Pope and her two predecessors say the Legislative Inspector General lacks key powers that would make the watchdog role truly independent. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Car catalytic converter thefts have increased in Champaign-Urbana, and auto shop owners say there's little that people can do about it. Converters make exhaust gases less toxic and are made of valuable metals that are being sold to licensed dealers or on the black market. A spokesperson for the National Insurance Crime Bureau says some of these metals currently sell for up to $19,000 per pound. Owner of KCM Auto Care in Urbana, Julie Morris, knows of whole parking lots and businesses that have been hit.
I mean, they are sliding under with saws and cutting them on both ends and pulling them right out. So there's not much prevention you can do unless your car's in a garage.
Morris says she typically sees these thefts every couple of years, but it's been worse than usual in the last year. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency reported Tuesday evening in a news conference that there's currently no evidence that air or water quality was adversely affected by the weeks-long fire at the Rockton Chemtool facility. Juan Pablo Ramirez-Franco has more.
Illinois EPA Director John J. Kim said that the agency conducted extensive testing in and around the Rock River, as well as local water supplies.
So the takeaway that we have there is we have not seen an adverse impact to the Rock River resulting from the fire, and we had not seen any indication that the community water supply or its source or its finished water was compromised in any way by the fire.
Dr. Sandra Martell with the Winnebago County Health Department also announced that to date, 1,900 responses have been logged via the Health Impact Survey. It closes for submissions this Thursday. Meanwhile, Winnebago County State's Attorney Jay Hanley says that his office is joining the Illinois Attorney General in a lawsuit against Chemtool on behalf of the people of Winnebago County. Hanley says that the goal is to evaluate the extent of the damage and develop a remediation plan. I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
Still to come, we'll head to Iowa to see how health officials there are trying to get more people vaccinated before the Delta variant of COVID-19 spreads further. That story from SideFX Public Media is next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. In recent weeks, demand for the COVID-19 vaccine in many states has declined sharply, even though fewer than 70% of people across the country have had at least one dose. Side Effects Public Media's Natalie Krebs has this update on one state's vaccine campaign.
It's a hot evening at the Broadway Neighborhood Center in Iowa City, home to the University of Iowa. Student volunteers have set up a mobile COVID vaccination clinic along the apartment complexes that house many immigrant and refugee families. But the clinic struggles to attract residents. Andrew Coghill-Barons, the center's site director, hits the streets. His goal is to get at least 20 people in for the shot.
It's really about talking to people and seeing if you can find them where they're at and encourage them to come over.
Coghill-Barons approaches several people outside, but they all turn him down.
If you want to get the vaccine, we have them for free over at the Broadway Neighborhood Center.
No, thank you.
No? Okay.
The university's mobile clinic has given more than 1,000 shots in vulnerable communities since March. But at the end of today's clinic hours, just 5 people get vaccinated. Coghill-Barons says he's concerned because he hears a lot of misinformation about the vaccine from this neighborhood.
They range the gamut from they're putting microchips into you, straight up to the vaccine's gonna kill you. So.
60% of Iowa's adults are fully vaccinated for COVID-19. This puts the state above the national average. But lately, demand for the vaccine has dropped sharply. In a recent Commonwealth Fund poll of 12,000 Americans, 66% reported 2 or more barriers to getting the shot, like being too busy or not knowing they were eligible. And 37% were hesitant about getting the vaccine. Republicans had significantly higher levels of hesitancy than Democrats. The unvaccinated listed a number of concerns, like the idea that President Joe Biden has distributed unproven vaccines, or that the shots make people sick, or that people have a personal right to opt out. Lindy Thomas hears that last reason a lot. She heads a local department in rural southeast Iowa.
It's mainly personal choice, you know, and what they think. I think a lot of this has been, I guess, party-driven or government-driven. And so I think there's a lot of mistrust and misinformation.
In Thomas's county, Van Buren, just 42% of adults are fully vaccinated. It's one of the lowest rates in the state. But Thomas doesn't feel it's her place to persuade people to get the shot.
I think all we can do is educate people, and they have to make that choice.
State officials launched an ad campaign to push more people to get vaccinated. The ads feature clips of people socializing and attending large events. It encourages everyone to, quote, do their part by getting vaccinated.
It's the best way to get Iowa back to normal.
Some counties have set up vaccine lotteries, but experts say there's little research on whether lottery incentives really work. Elvin Gang is a professor of medicine at Washington University in St. Louis. He says one study found it only works to persuade those who are more open to getting the shot.
If you are resistant to it, or you think there's something wrong with it, and they say, oh, you could win some money, it actually makes people think of that entire thing as less attractive.
Gang says what does work is getting primary care physicians to encourage their patients to be vaccinated.
The reason why people trust their doctors is because there's a relationship, right? You know this person as a human being, and you know that you've seen them in the past, and you expect to see them again in the future.
Meanwhile, counties with low vaccination rates are at a greater risk for COVID outbreaks. This worries Chris Estel, who heads a county health department in southeastern Iowa. Just 45% of adults are fully vaccinated there.
Honestly, at this point, I don't know that we're going to move the needle. People don't want to hear me say that. They don't. But that's the reality of where we're at.
Estel says the highly contagious Delta variant has been confirmed in the county. She expects to see a spike in cases at some point. She just doesn't know when. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Natalie Krebs.
And we are now starting to see spikes in COVID cases due to the Delta variant, especially in Missouri, which borders both Iowa and Illinois. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have partly cloudy skies today with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 84 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Carolina Garibay. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Vivian Law, Juan Pablo Ramirez-Franco, and Natalie Krebs. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.